Finally here. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, talking to you from beautiful British Columbia in Canada, and you're listening to the show called Between Two Worlds. And I am a paranormal investigator and a psychic medium, and our tonight's guest actually is going to be two people, not just one, but two top paranormal investigators. One of the, I would say, two out of the four team, which is our good friend Dr. Jimmy and his other partner is Jesse, who's also been helping, doing a little, will also be part of our, as one of our guests. It'd be great to have. To let everybody else know, before we get started, I wanted to recognize our affiliates. We, the ones that are actually picking us up as well as syndications is Ghost Radio up in Nova Scotia. Yeah, right. Ghost Radio in Australia. That's really down under. The people up there, up in, Netherlands are picking us up. So I'd like to thank you both, all of us, all you folks for carrying us over. And we're just trying to get everybody hooked up in here, trying to get as much in as possible to have actually a chat with everyone. So also the numbers are available for you guys to phone in. If you want to ask any questions down the road when we're interviewing Jimmy and Jesse. And as far as I understand it, we also have somebody else coming in who's also will be listening to our show. Is actually Tracy, who's also in the background. I'd like to welcome those who are actually in the chat room. And so I'd like to thank you all for listening in. We are going to have a fantastic night tonight regarding paranormal investigating. Jimmy is actually considered one of the top, and as well as his wife Heather, they're considered, the whole team is actually considered one of the top paranormal investigators across the United States. They've been rated number one. I've been doing some research, and a lot of people are like, they're just absolutely just phenomenal. Now, they actually have a radio show in on the internet as well. They're also working on doing television, paranormal investigating television, and their show is called is actually APSR Radio. They do have a website, APSRradio.com. And those of you who ever actually listened to the show, it's fabulous. These guys used to have me on their show every once a month for the last couple of years, and it's been great. So now we're giving something back to Jimmy in return to let everybody else know that, no, Jimmy, you have not died. Is that man there?
I'm here, man! It is happening!
What's going on, my man?
Well, Jesse's over here fumbling around trying to find the remote to get the internet on the big screen here that we got. We have children, and they like to leave remotes in inconspicuous places that we cannot never find them. So I'm watching Disney Channel right now, but I get to the chat room, hooked up to the big LCD screen that we have up here, and Jesse was going to try to join the chat room, but hey, we're doing great here in the dry south here.
Dry south. No rain?
It's bad here in Alabama.
Really?
It's bad. I guess we're like 15 inches below our water, normal rainfall, our water level. Our Sunday escapades to the river have been cut out.
Wow. Are there any warnings on fires out there?
Yeah. In fact, just above my home, they just put a fire out yesterday.
Really?
About 400 acres were burnt.
Wow!
It's been kind of dry and humid, but we're actually starting to get some rainfall, which is cool. So that's making it a little bit better. You know, I'm scaling like a lizard because it's so dry.
Yeah, you got plenty of water to drink while you're on the radio here.
Yes, I have liquids. Yes.
Yeah, we don't want to lose you, so while we're doing our talk on radio here.
He is old. You know, I am old. You know, I got a birthday coming up this month, too.
Are you? What are you turning, the big 4-0?
The 43, man, and 19th of July.
Wow, happy birthday.
Thank you. You know, that was actually a date to remember is one of the Apollo missions was on that date.
Really? So now, I guess, Heather gets to take you out into space. For your birthday.
Oh, yeah, right. For those that don't know Jesse is actually my brother-in-law. Heather, her sister is Samantha. That's who Jesse's married to.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had to put up with the same crap on a constant basis. But
if you see in the pictures, they look like twins and they act like twins.
No, they do.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm totally sure of that.
Unbelievable.
Was Heather and were they both born at the same time?
No. Heather's older.
Yeah, a year apart.
A year apart. Okay.
Yeah.
She looks like twins. I hear, now, are you and Jesse beginning to look like twins, too?
That would never happen. We look sort of like the movie twins, but Arnold Schwarzenegger and was it Danny DeVito?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're working on it.
Yeah. I'm kind of the shortest of the whole bunch, you know, so, yeah. I look like Danny. He looks like Arnold. He's a little shorter. I mean, he's not too much taller than I am, but he's thick.
You're working on it.
He's a thick man.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, what have you been doing the last few weeks? Now, have you guys been back on doing some paranormal investigating?
No. We've been working.
You've been working.
We've been having to work, make a living to so we can get out there and do stuff. Actually, we're still in production for our internet TV show.
Okay. How's that coming along?
It's coming. It's coming along. Still got those four episodes going.
Good.
We've got some other stuff that's in the works that we'll be investigating and putting on film and, of course, putting on the internet as we get our episodes together. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, over the last four or five, since we ended the show, the end of May, it's just been basically relaxing, taking a break from everything, working, making money.
I think the biggest thing is when we come out with our material, we're going to make sure it's done right. There's a lot of quirky stuff out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, should I say jackleg, you know, things happening, and we want to come out and hold our reputation.
Well, let's put it this way. Like you guys say before, you don't want somebody saying, well, let's, you know, like say Hollywood is, and they'll say, well, let's pretend that you guys aren't getting along to make it more exciting. You know, you don't need that.
We don't want the controversy. I mean, controversy sells regardless, and it's always going to sell. But,
definitely.
You know, other side to that.
Exactly. I mean, you guys are all a team. You know each other's work together. You balance out well. This is what your job is supposed to be. Each person is supposed to be responsible for what their job is, responsible for. So whether, no matter what you do, each are supporting each other, not having to argue.
Right.
Well, I mean, come on. All right, now.
We do argue.
Let's take it back. Let's back up a little bit. We are in-laws. We are married to wives that think the same, like twins.
Well, you got in-laws and outlaws. So which is the outlaw?
You know,
they're the outlaws. We're the in-laws.
We're the in-laws. We're more like, I guess, Jesse and I click more together. We think more like each other. And our wives think a lot alike each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's plenty of drama. I mean, come on. Think about it.
Yeah.
You're definitely twins.
Yes. And they drive us crazy, but we love them. And we work together well, but always the bloopers, the drama. I mean, you know, we got our share of drama. If I said we didn't have drama, I'd be lying.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you guys this big question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we've ever talked about it. Yes, we did. Last show we did talk, but 2 weeks ago I talked to you about this, Jimmy. I want to ask, from both of your point of views, what is your most scariest moment doing paranormal investigation? Which was the most scariest time when you did your work?
Look at it, Jesse.
I'm not talking about dating. I'm talking about working.
I think I'll answer that one real quick. Is We were in my old house taking pictures.
That was freaky, yeah. I forgot about that.
I was in the process of selling my home, and we moved into a trailer, a double-wide trailer, so there's about 10 of us in this trailer. To sell my house, we left it clean and empty. We decided one night we were going to go do an investigation in the house just to try things, experiment on things.
That was our code with the 30th. It was a Halloween night.
It was Halloween night.
We just spurred the moment and said, hey, let's go do something.
Well, I'm in there taking steel shots. Jimmy, we never leave each other. Well, we say we never leave each other's side. It was a 1,200-square-foot house. I stepped into the next room to take some steel shots, and upon observing what I had just snapped, everything was drained from me. I seen something, and I always told Jimmy, if I see something in the camera, I'm walking. So I grabbed Jimmy, and I told him, I said, you know, let's take a break. Let's stop the EVP session, and let's go ahead and step outside. So we walked on outside like nothing was wrong, and I showed the team what picture I got.
And we kept the digital recorder going, by
right.
the way, and a cassette recorder going in the living room.
We left the house empty and left a digital voice recorder going. We left the recorders going for an experiment just to see what happened.
Yeah.
Well, showing them the picture, I've got a steel shot with a full-blown face in the window like it was looking at me.
It was freaky. I mean, it was like one of those evil-looking things from a horror movie show that's like, oh, my God.
It drained me. I mean, it drained me to where I wasn't, you know, I wasn't even trying to shed a tear, and it pulled water from my eyes. That
really?
Freaked me. And so at that point, I went back inside. I was like, you know, nothing's going to scare me that bad without me facing it one more time. And I went back out inside the house, and I took some more steel shots, and come to find out, it was the way the window was wiped.
It was a kid's room. The daughter, my niece, had decided to get creative in the window, and you know how you get cookies on your hands and stuff.
Yeah.
And she made a nice little booger bear. And so it was a scary moment. But now get this: while we were inside, you know, like I said, we left a digital recorder and a cassette recorder going. And believe it or not, we got some awesome DVDs out of there.
Upon analyzing the digital voice recorder, there was something that muffled and covered the voice recorder with, like, if you were to put your hand over it, over the phone and try to talk, it sounds muffled. You could still hear us all outside talking and talking about the picture, but yet you could hear
some hand going over the microphone,
right.
Like it was covering it. It would muffle and get real quiet. You hear like a shh.
I think those EVPs are on the website.
Yeah, they're on the website.
From Jesse's house. It was pretty awesome. But yeah, that, I would say that was so far my scariest, and it was actually something very simple. But you know, when you see something in your camera that you just took and it jumps out at you like that, what are you supposed to do?
It got your attention, didn't it?
Jesse is
I don't know, what are you, part Filipino?
I'm Filipino, Irish, Indian, John. I'm mixed up. I'm a mutt.
He's a mutt, I'm a mutt, but he turned white.
Yeah, that's
he was scared. He was white.
He was whiter than you.
Oh, no.
You're whiter than Dr. J.
I think I did turn whiter than him.
Yeah, he did. He looked at me and said, Jimmy, we need to take a walk. And I'm like, huh? He's like, we need to go.
Really need to take a walk.
I said, okay, I knew something's up. So that's when we walked out.
I ended his EVP session for him.
Yeah.
Really? Now, I'm going to ask, what type of work, now, what is your job in the team that you're with Dr. Jimmy? What is your job that you are responsible for?
I keep them on their toes. I do a lot of the steel shots.
EVPs?
I do EVPs. Both of us being lead investigators, I mean, we stand by each other's side. We lay out the house. We plot our plan of attack. We I don't think we do anything separate besides the radio show. I mean,
yeah,
I run a ceramic tile business, so I mean, when he's doing his radio show, I'm, you know, my thing is work and family. But come time for an investigation, we are side by side. Our brains are connected, and we're networking and working, you know, through each other. So I don't think there's really, I don't think there's anything that I do different than him when it comes to walking into a home, cemetery, or any place of investigation.
Well, you talk about cemeteries. You guys have done a cemetery, haven't you?
We've done a few.
A few, yeah.
Have you found anything different about them that would find it exciting enough to return back, or...
I don't think, really. I think just the thought of being in a cemetery would bring me back. Just
we had a one time, though, that was pretty interesting with the flags and all that.
Yeah, the flags. There was noises coming out of a giant bush that were abnormal. They didn't belong in that bush. For the birds we have around here, for the animals, if it were squirrels or owls or any type of bird, you know, we know the sounds. But that, I mean, that cemetery, yeah, it had some stuff. I wouldn't say it was outlandish.
I'd say part of that, one time we went to the cemetery where the flags, we were looking at the windmill started going,
yeah,
running around.
We got that on video.
And we were watching that, and there was no wind blowing at all. I mean, it was like a summer, Alabama muggy summer night it was still, no wind. And there was a grave, a child's grave. And they had those pixie sticks with windmills on. And
yeah,
one started going, then the other one went, and they both started going.
That was during an EVP session as well.
Yeah.
So, and it was a
and then
dead,
the flags went.
Yeah, it was a dead
that
still
was
night.
That was a little freaky.
Wow.
It was a dead still night, and flags were blowing as if there was a lot of wind blowing.
And there was no wind blowing.
Yeah, there was really nothing. It was really a still night.
Now, wasn't this the same one, the same similar research you did that's on your DVD?
Yes, it's the same cemetery.
That was another night.
That was a different night.
I think we did about three or four investigations over there, just basically trying new stuff and trying to find different things. I mean,
we got some EVPs out of there.
Oh, we got good EVPs out of there.
Yeah, I got a little girl stand in the light. Our batteries went totally dead, and they came back on. Our flashlights, with the film crew there when we were filming, we were at this one grave site, and again it was around a child's grave. The flashlights we had, we were looking and trying to say, okay, where we're at and everything, and I'm setting up to do an EVP session, and the battery just drained. I mean, the flashlights went totally out.
And those are brand new batteries.
Yeah, the totally went out, but the recorder's still going. That's what's weird. So I asked the question. I said, "Is anybody here? Do you have a message?" And the lights came back on. And during that time on the EVP session, I get this little girl's voice saying, "Into the light."
Wow.
That was weird. I mean, it's totally dead, and then went back live.
Full power.
Full power. Never had any more problems with the flashlight.
So basically, it sounds to me that the spirit decided to leave after you lost the power, got your power back.
Yeah. What's interesting is each time that we went to the cemetery, Jesse, you know, there was always somebody in the funeral home that was awake that had just happened.
Always, yeah.
Always. So there was always.
It seemed like every time we went, you could tell somebody was freshly buried.
Yeah. There was a wake that had just happened, you know, prior to that.
Wow. Now, in the work that you do, and now a lot of people out in this radio world really doesn't know what a paranormal investigator does. Now, even though you're called paraspiritual, why are you called paraspiritual?
Well, I came up with the term, you know, because, you know, as far as paranormal, that means, you know, abnormal activity.
Okay.
So I said, well, what we do is spiritual. We're spiritual advisor, counselors. I do exorcisms. So I wanted to come up with something unique. So I came up with the term para-spiritual, abnormal spiritual activity.
Okay. That's what it's all based around.
That's what it's based around. I mean, demonic activity.
Angelic activity. I mean,
and human spirits,
right,
as well. I mean, there's all three. And there, you've had the encounters with demonic.
Yeah.
And you know the type of work I do. The majority of the work that we actually get involved with is helping others that are having spiritual warfare. We get more involved with the demonic type to go help people get rid of the entities, the demonic entities that have, for whatever reason,
we try to help both parties
into the situation.
We try to help both parties.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that when you guys are doing your job, like, are you split apart, like, way far from each other? You're close about 5 feet or 3 feet away, or how is that now? You go in this room, you go that room? Are you guys in teams or singly by yourself? How does that work?
We always stay in teams, and me and Jimmy are never no more than 3 feet, never, I would say, no more than 5 feet apart. We're always within an arm's reach of each other.
So who's responsible for the camera?
Normally Heather and Samantha will run the camera. Sometimes I will.
Or sometimes I'll follow behind. I'll follow behind Jimmy with a camera just in case if something happens. I mean, I'm right there on him to see what happens and see what goes on. I think with Jimmy being, you know, a minister and that strong in faith, I think if anything demonic is going to jump out, I would say it's going to jump at him first in a challenge. So if something decides to jump, I'm hoping to catch it. And I'm right there on his back.
So, now, you guys have done a DVD, and the DVD's been out for, what, a year or two?
Yeah, about 2 years.
I think it's about a year and a half. 2 years.
Over 2 years now.
Okay, so if you want to let everybody else know out there that you do have a DVD available that you can actually, if they want to order that, see your what you guys do, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to moviemix.com and get the DVD. If they want an autographed copy of it, then they need to go to our website at APSRradio.com.
Okay, and the DVD actually is called The Haunted Self?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, The Haunted Self. So basically, now you're working on a second one now, right?
Well, we were working on a second one, and then we came up with the idea to do a TV internet show.
That is still in the works, though. It is just postponed at the moment.
So right now, we've got so many projects going on, so many things happening this summer with work and with our, you know, the DVD and the internet TV show.
Budget building, budget filming is tough. So between work,
no. I've been talked. I mean, I got people that are interested and wanted me to do the same similar thing you guys are doing here, there where you are, and they're asking me for me to do the same thing over here. So I'm seriously considering doing paranormal investigating television here. So because it's never been done here in BC,
right?
There's a different story, but they will do their version here. They want to do it like they actually have done it, which it's more of a documentary. But they haven't done it in the way it's realism, but being on site.
Well, you know, one of the things there, you know, I've been doing this for quite a while. You know, as far as I had the radio show.
Yeah.
Heather and I did that. And it's one thing, you know, it's cool playing the EVPs on the radio and people being able to hear it. But when you talk about, like, things that Jesse and I have discussed tonight, if you can see it,
yeah,
it's more real.
That's basically what it means. Like, I got a restaurant that I want to go to, and actually it used to be a prison. It was a federal penitentiary, and a lot of people died there. And they turned it into a restaurant. It's never been inspected yet. It's never been investigated.
Oh.
The people that actually have talked about it, the stories, but they've never been investigated. In this place, I want to hit it. I want to hit it well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's the whole thing of skepticism, too, to hear it. People are still going to be skeptical of what was that. Oh, you just made that up, or somebody made that noise. But to see it, that'll change your mind real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you guys ever been to a prison and investigated it?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about going out for a drink, got drunk, and got there. I'm talking about, like, investigating a prison.
No, not yet. I've got.
If you ever come across an old prison that's been shut down, I highly recommend to do one like that. I mean, I've been to one place that actually was abandoned, was never used. It was an old police station, had two prison cells. And, again, that's a very different feeling compared to going into, you know, even a house or a hotel that was haunted. The investigations are so different. Do you find
that? I bet.
Yeah. Now, have you guys ever done any hotels?
I think Jimmy, didn't y'all do a hotel?
Yeah.
That Jimmy and them did a hotel. They went to a deal in another state just for the radio show where me and Samantha didn't go on that one. And I believe they did investigate the hotel or did a couple rooms. I haven't personally seen the evidence on that. Go ahead.
Being like, you know, hotels, I find them very interesting, especially if they're older, not as much newer. But you guys got a lot of history where you are because you're located up in Alabama.
Correct.
Alabama.
Yes, we are in the Bible Belt. So a lot of the places are actually very difficult for us. I mean, there's a lot of political, you know, stuff that we've got to go through. There's a lot of red tape, especially being in the Bible Belt, that we have to deal with Christian Coalition. We've got to deal with a lot of people that are against it. So it makes it more difficult for us to do investigations in places of prisons, you know, that sort. Right.
Yeah, most of our stuff has been residential. Again, I'm a minister, so calls we get are people that are having a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're going through. They're not understanding it. They need help. They want answers. So that's where a lot of our investigations have been. Now, we've been fortunate enough to be able to go to, you know, like some historical areas, to some places around here, which is featured on the DVD. One is a college, Montevallo. We had some really weird stuff happen there during the filming of that.
Now, that was a school?
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Okay.
The whole night was pretty wild.
The whole night was wild. let's put it this way. We had a psychic that was there that I didn't know that was going to be there. She flew in from Texas. I know, she drove in.
Unexpected. We did not know this lady was going to show up for nothing in the world, and she flat out overtook our investigation and told us basically we didn't know what we were doing.
And I threatened to throw her out the second story window, and I to get her out of there, I was going to kill her. She's crazy.
Oh, that lady told us taking still shots that we did not know how to take pictures and that we were not going to get the pictures that she was going to get because her being psychic, she could talk to them and they were talking to her and she knew exactly where they were and they were letting her take their pictures.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Derek, you know I'm about psychic.
I don't personally. I feel the same about it.
How long did it take you to get on my radio show?
It took a while. I mean, showed you what
okay.
I did. I didn't, you know, I just told you the way things are, not pretend to be something. I just told you the way it is.
That's what we like.
But you can imagine, here's something. You know how I am, my temper and everything else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got a temper.
I got a temper.
But it's an Alabama temper.
Short man syndrome.
There you go. Short man syndrome.
And when she told me to get out of that room, she was telling me she was sensing stuff, and I was trying to film it, trying to get EVPs. She basically told me to get out of there. That's what
you
I was.
It,
I was like, lady, you're crazy.
I remember being on radio with one of the people that you had interviewed from the Missouri Paranormal Investigations.
Yeah.
And they had the very same girl, I believe, that even approached them, too.
Probably.
And she told them the very similar story, then they told her to take a hike.
Yeah.
She was affiliated with what group out of California?
Some group out of there. I'm mixing the names.
I can't even...
But you want to know something? She told them that she knew who I was, that she worked with me, which I never did. Because they called me up and asked me if I worked with her. I said, no.
No. She's a... There's so many of them that are out there. And, that's one of the things that I want to expose. I want people to know not everybody's psychic.
No.
Okay? Everybody has the ability to experience the paranormal, but not everybody has psychic medium abilities. But, my God, in the last 5 years, Derek,
sensitive people come a dime a dozen nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, my God, this is many groups that are out there that are breaking up. You've got that many psychics, and I still get emails. I want to be on your show. Well, my show's not going on anymore. Even if it was, I wouldn't have you on. I don't know you. I just don't trust everybody that says they're psychic. So,
number one, there is the psychic, and then there's the medium, and then there's the psychic medium, or the medium itself. And if you, let's put it this way, I've come across, I do teach people how to use their skills to further their skills in their lives, but there's a difference between a psychic medium that wants to communicate with those passed over, and then there's the medium that trains, that does paranormal investigations, that has no fear. I mean, we do have some fears, that can do paranormal investigations. There are people that actually, and I've actually had students tell me that, yes, I want to be a medium, but I don't want to ghost hunt. Well, there's a difference. You know what I mean? You got to prepare yourself to make contact.
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, look at the people who want to be preachers but don't want to be around. You know, you just want to learn about the Bible, but you want to become a preacher. I mean, that don't make no sense.
No.
You're going to involve yourself with the demonic. I mean, you've got to be prepared to deal with the counseling part of people that are experiencing the demonic. And so many are out there. That's why I do what I do, is because I experienced it myself from 3 years old all the way up to now. I've been attacked. I've been harmed. I don't back down from it. I'm not scared. I can't say I'm not scared of them,
but I ain't running.
But I ain't running, and I will confront them, and I will. If they piss me off enough, I will. You know, I'm the type of person, Derek.
If they piss you off enough, they'll just say, I'm going to tell your mama.
Come on. You're going to get me? You're going to get me. There's only the man upstairs that's going to let you kill me.
Yeah.
You may break my leg. You may cut me, and I hate pain. But you know what? I ain't giving in to your scare tactics, and I'm not going to put up with this crap. I'm going to come after you. And that's my goal, is that after what was done to me and my family.
Now, have you guys done any investigations under, institutions like mentally handicapped or mentally disabled, you know, older buildings like that?
Not yet. All our stuff deals with residential.
Just straight residential.
Okay, yeah.
So what's the most scariest residential home have you been in, besides the ones that you scared yourselves with at your own personal...
A lot of residential. I mean, anywhere from cases of people, you know, coming up with no evidence and not really doing the follow-ups where we should, but the people tend to back away after... because they feel that it's safe. For some reason, after we show up, they tend to feel they feel blissful in the house after we leave. Anywhere from doing mansions built in the early 1800s,
up to the 1980s. It's been different homes. We drove 9 hours to
Union, Missouri.
Yeah.
We've been to Dallas, Georgia, which is 3 hours away. We've been.
And that was we had to do an exorcism there. That was a demonic case.
That was another scary case for me.
What was that one like?
That one was dealing with an incubus that was
attacking a woman.
And during 7 hours into it, there was nothing major that happened besides the first time we went up into this attic, which this house was the first house on this plantation, now is a subdivision. The house was remodeled, and upon time of them sparking a fire in the fireplace, everything kicked into place and started happening.
And then right after the investigation, there was a, when they were doing some construction on the road that was about a mile and a half away from the house, they uncovered a mass Confederate graveyard.
Really?
Yeah, in this area.
In the route of Trail of Tears.
And Trail of Tears, a massive, that was where Sherman came through.
Now, was the house planted on top of that or near it?
The house, this was just a house on a plantation near the trail.
Near the trail. So it probably, now did you go from like all directions to find where the highest amount of activity?
Out.
One specific direction, or did you find it like in the whole circumference, like the whole square area?
The most stuff that happened was in the attic. The attic was renovated into a bedroom. And that's where Jimmy, interviewing the mother and the daughter, seen a blue orb just out of nowhere come across. We had electrical strikes.
I had knockings. I had knockings just when I was interviewing them.
My camera flipped out, completely lost power.
And all the electricity was off.
Yeah, we had no electricity. I mean,
well, we cut the electricity off. That's one of the things we do. Is we normally, when we do an investigation,
yeah,
we cut the power off, we film, and we investigate
with our battery power,
and everything was charged. Now, if it comes to a point after a few hours, after so many hours, we will turn the power back on and continue filming and investigating in natural environment to see if we get any other anomalies. But all this time that we were in this house, all the power was off. So any EVPs, any anomalies we got was with the power off.
So basically there was no activity with electricity. You did have activity in the upper rooms or in the lower areas, or the most activity was upstairs?
Activity. The scary part was towards the end, we had the lady lay down on the bed. She stated that it was attacking her. It was on her.
And her husband was laying in the bed, too.
The husband was skeptical and didn't even want us there. He flew out of the bed whiter than a ghost.
Some guy just laid and jerked it.
Some jerked on his leg, and he took off, and he was a believer. During that time, we kept filming, and we kept her on that bed while it was on her, trying to catch anything. Jimmy set a digital voice recorder on the nightstand, and on the other nightstand, I had a high eight camcorder sitting on the entertainment center right next to the fireplace. I was sitting on a medicine ball. She had an exercise ball.
Yeah.
And Jimmy had made the statement that you're not welcome here, you have to leave. And I'm not 2 seconds, not a second behind. You hear this no. And it was just this long, drawn-out, scary no. And the only thing that picked it up was my hi-8. The digital voice recorders did not pick it up.
Nor did the cassette recorder.
Really?
Really.
And I
must be a different level of energy then.
Yeah, we also got really high spikes in our temperature. It went from 69 degrees up to about, I'd say anywhere from 89 to 92 degrees.
And it was a cool night.
It was a cool night. So, I mean, the temperatures went, instead of going down, most people say, well, it's going to get cold. Not always. You will get heat spikes.
Yeah.
We got a lot of heat spikes.
So it was, I wouldn't put it past, it was of another dimension then.
Man, I couldn't tell you. All I know is it was something demonic that was really upset with us being there.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling, and this is my way I'm getting this, way I'm feeling it. I got a funny feeling that somebody was practicing some sort of ritual in that place long before those people moved in.
We believe,
we believe so too.
We have that connection when we walked in.
Yeah,
that they practiced that, and the husband and wife did not know anything about this. And I bet you they practiced it around the 60s or the 70s.
Yeah, that's kind of what we figured, is that there was somebody, you know, anytime you got something demonic, Derek, someone has opened that proverbial door.
Yeah. Now, it could possibly also be your typical Ouija board.
Yep.
Ouija boards or
tarot cards, hypnosis.
Yeah.
Ouija boards, all of that, to me, is nothing but a doorway.
See, Jesse was into, when he was a teenager, he was into Satanism and black magic early in his teen years. So he's kind of my insight to that information. Although
yeah.
I'm studying about it, he's actually practiced it and knows it. So is his dad. They know a lot of stuff. They've seen a lot of things. So our conclusions, whenever there's something demonic, we know for a fact, and I normally draw it out of somebody whenever there's something demonic,
yeah,
somebody has opened the door some way, some form, some fashion.
Well, now, if anybody actually wants, who are listening to the show, let everybody else know. If you guys want to phone in, you're more than welcome to phone in and ask questions to ask Dr. Jimmy and Jesse. We'd love to have to hear from you, and it's toll-free numbers, so please call in. Now, the other part that I'm curious about, when you guys are actually doing your investigations, now, this house itself was actually going through heat spikes, but had you ever been in a place that actually was getting so cold that you actually see your breath?
Oh, God,
yeah. Union, Missouri. We were in this
on film.
We got this on film. We were in an apartment. It was a 2-bedroom small apartment, Union, Missouri. It looked like a coal mining town. I put a Bible near the doll that was allegedly talking to the tenant. Upon me putting the Bible there, the temperature was holding, I believe, 73 or 75.
About 75
degrees. And it dropped all the way down to 42 in a split second and maintained temperature of 42 as long as my Bible sat right there.
For about almost 7 to 10 minutes.
When I moved my Bible, the temperature jumped right back up to 75.
Yep. And also, what was worthy to note is we got significant EMF readings. I've never gotten any EMF readings.
We've never had them.
That day, we got some of the most strongest EMF readings that I've ever gotten in my life.
What is an EMF?
Electronic magnetic field.
Okay, and what is it supposed to recognize?
And something was going on in that room, and
yeah.
It was in the room.
We did perform an exorcism that night.
Yeah.
Successfully.
Yeah.
Now, where do you think it came from? What caused it to be there?
It caused it.
Well, you feel it was either for quite a long time, or was it there just a short, brief time?
Oh, this couple has been involved with Indians, with crystals, with
Satanism,
witchcraft. I think this girl's life was so disturbed from a young age. She had involved herself in anything with anybody that would open their arms to her.
Okay.
I mean, this girl's life, I mean, if we could show the video, you could see it in this girl's eyes. This girl was lost.
So basically what you could have done or can do still is actually do a film on this one, like a DVD on this one here, just blur her face And still, you could do a fantastic.
We would definitely reenact it. We would definitely put the reenacting in there and use another female. That was a big promise that we made to her, that we would never make a joke of her or never make anything out of this. This was for us and for her family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she was to the point where she could care less if her children died. She could care less if her children were around. And today, as a matter of fact, I talked to her 3 days ago. The most cheerful, happiest woman I could ever hear. I mean, nothing but happiness.
And when we went there, she was full of hate, demise, depression.
It took everything I had to get her to hold my Bible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold on to my Bible. If she could have held on to a thread, she would have held that Bible. And upon certain questions, I think the whole team, we thought she was going to throw the Bible at me at one point.
Yeah, we thought she was going to attack. But
here's a question I'm sure you guys have never heard before, but how does it feel when you're able to help someone like that?
Oh, I was in tears.
It's a feeling that you can't explain. I mean, that's what we do. I could care less when we go to this mansion or that historical place. Our goal is to help people and to be able to help a person that had just one person.
If we could just help one person, that means the world does.
Yeah. My job is done. I mean, we have accomplished what we were called for. I believe it's a calling, and not everybody can do this.
We accomplished something that a lot of teams out there haven't and can't do. Or I wouldn't say they can't. I would say they haven't.
So basically, you guys became the walking angels, because if you think about it, if you never did show up, she may not have been here.
She probably killed herself, so would her husband.
Yeah. I feel that what you guys have done, you were meant to do.
It was a bad situation.
Yeah, definitely.
I think
the biggest thing in our investigations and in our research is honesty. We don't walk in and sugarcoat nothing for anybody. And this investigation went, I wouldn't say like a charm, but it went very, very well in the fact that there was honesty there. She opened up, he opened up, and didn't hold anything back. We didn't pressure, but as time went on, more and more just began to open out of being comfortable, and it was awesome. Where a lot of people tend to hide things, and they're afraid to let you know, and it just makes any investigation more difficult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a 12-hour process, let's put it that way.
What about hospitals? Have you guys ever done hospitals?
No.
No?
Like clinics?
No.
They made a building into a clinic?
I have to say for myself, where I used to work, and I can't mention the name of the place or anything, but it was actually a hospital back during World War II, on an air base. And
okay. It's
actually haunted. So, yes, I've worked that a little bit.
Okay, because I that's what it made sense, because there's...
But I can say yes, I have.
Okay. Now, we have a caller calling in. You guys ready for this?
Sure, hit it.
Okay. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Justin.
Hello?
I'm an old friend of Dr. Jimmy's.
Your old friend Dr. Jimmy's. Who am I talking to?
Justin.
Justin! Justin's online.
Just turn him off.
Cut him off. Justin?
I actually had an honest question that I've never asked Jimmy about the case you were just talking about. And I said, well, he said you could call in. So I'm going to call in and put him on the spot.
Okay.
Jimmy, when you were doing the case with the young lady and said it was kind of hairy after a while, when you and Jesse walked in initially, when the young lady knew that you were there and what you were there for, what was her initial response? I mean, what was the first response that come from her?
Union.
She lowered. she had some of the blackest circles under her eyes.
Wow.
Back and forth.
She would not look us in the face.
She would not talk to me.
And she would keep about a 5 or 6 foot distance from us.
She would not talk to me. Eventually, Jesse was able to get to where he could talk to her.
She was angry. She was pissed off. I spent 6 hours with her in nothing but conversation where the first initial look when we walked through the door was she backed up.
She had the eyes that could just cut right through your soul.
So she knew exactly why you guys were there and what was exactly about to happen.
Yeah, once we walked in, she knew exactly. I say
she knew the night before.
She didn't. It did. She was possessed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it did. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Well, no, I understand. The demon, you gotta understand, she was not herself. She was definitely possessed. The demons that were inside her knew who we were.
There was visits the night prior to us going there.
Yeah. Jesse,
so I was awoken at 3 o'clock in the morning on the dot with every fear in my body and chill bumps thinking about it, that I was awoken out of a dead sleep, not even in a dream, and I wasn't getting out of my bed, I'll tell you that much.
So the demon was basically messing with you guys while you slept, trying to get y'all to run away.
Yeah.
I think it was trying to scare us from coming up there. I really and truly feel that.
That's amazing that it actually, I guess you could say, knew. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's like I've told Jimmy, I do investigations, but I've never messed with the demonic. And I hate to say it, but I mean, even with demonic possession, I mean, it's amazing what they know in advance.
They're very powerful.
The information that they can get a hold of.
If you think about it, Justin, you think about it, that they somehow already know that when you're up late, you walk in, they will not look at you eye to eye. They'll drop their eyes from you unless they're being really challenging to you, and they will test you to see how tough you really are.
So if I'm of the light, it doesn't matter if I have any experience with exorcism. If I just happen to come across one, if I'm of the light, they're going to back up.
They will. If you're strong enough and not have fear, they will back up.
That depends. I think as soon as you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you're going to get tested right off the bat. I don't care how strong your faith is, you're going to get tested.
Yeah.
You're true. I mean, look at Job. Look what happened to him.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm going to get off this line, but I thank you very much for answering my questions. It's good to talk to y'all again. Good to talk to you again, Derek. And Tracy wanted me to tell all of you a big hello.
Big hello too, Pat.
Hello, all right, Mac. You guys have a great evening. Thanks for taking my call.
You, Justin.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, guys, we're getting close to closing. I really like to thank you guys for coming on and to talk about your work, and I'm sure we've actually amazed a lot of people by listening in what a paranormal investigators are and paraspiritual investigators are. And you guys are fabulous. I mean, I always really appreciate when I come on with you guys when I'm doing your show with you. Now, your website, I want to let you know, I want you to tell everybody else out there, your website is www.apsrradio.com. And if you have any information you want to share with us now, go right ahead and tell everybody out there what you want to say. Are you there? Go for it. Stay before we shut down.
Stay true, and, you know, we're going to be back. We're not totally gone. We still got the replays playing on the replay server. We're going to be back. We're gonna try to show some stuff that's going to blow your mind. We're going to have fun with it. We've always said we'd like to be funny. We like to.
I'm the clown, so that there's going to be comedy.
Yeah, there's going to be some comedy, and
if Jesse's
there's going to be some drama. There's going to be a lot of things. So Just stay tuned. Keep up with the website. You never know when I'm going to come live on the mic. You just never know. There's a lot of people that are trying to discredit myself and several well-known paranormal investigators.
Keep hating because we love you.
We love you, and we're going to just disprove you. And I'm going to show you. If you got a beef with me, hey, email me. We'll talk.
I'll put you
in the mic.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to having you come back again and talk more about your work.
Thank you,
bud. Thanks, Derek, for having us on, and a big hello to everybody out there.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Anyway, everybody else out there, I'd like to thank you for listening in. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud. You're listening to Between Two Worlds. And in between time and the meantime, that is it for me this evening. And I'd like to thank our guests for being on. I'd like to thank everyone else for listening in. And we'll talk to you next week. Next week we have another guest coming on. And this young lady is, if you go to the website on BBS Radio, you'll see what's coming up. I'll update you what will be happening. So, guys, take care, and I'm shutting her down. Thanks a lot. You all take care. Bye.